Mr. Clarkson, reel 34.
And if dockyard mateys and sailors were ashore Friday evening, say dockyard mateys getting paid on Friday or Saturday lunchtime, could it lead to fights and pubs, that sort of thing?
Or no, was it kept, not so much.
It was kept at a distance, was it?
No, I don't think I've ever seen that go on there. No, they seem ashore. Everything was peaceful. It was really peaceable. It was a wonderful place for Portsmouth, I think, because you used to get the visitors down in the summer. Now, the sailors were always all right with them. You could always, Matt used to go ashore, pick up a girl, or a couple of girls, and they were well away. You used to enjoy themselves with them. And then, of course, there was the seafront, there was the ships going in and out, and it was a most popular seaside resort.
And you said there that you got a diggings ashore when you eventually began to... Well, we'll come back to that, why you did it. But was there parts of the town that the sailors lived in, rather than other parts? Were there parts characteristically sailor?
At Southsea, there is a distinct place there where the better-off people live. But this is another thing, that the sailors, to supplement their incomes, a lot of them would say the average rent then, I forget what we used to pay, well, if it was £1 a week at that time, they would rent a place for £2 or £3 a week and let... Especially some of them were on a 3-year home billet. I know the chief joiners and people like that. They used to rent a better class houses, because there's always plenty of houses to rent then. And then they'd put up visitors, full board. And Portsmouth, it used to get crammed with visitors. Well, they used to carry that on from all the summer season. And then in the winter, their wives used to go to Switzerland for a holiday or something. They always had money. Now, I went on one occasion when I was on the RNBT to see a woman whose husband was in trouble, or she was in debt or something like that. And I got the right name, but the wrong address. And this woman was a stoker's wife, and she got a great big three-story high house in Elphinstone Road. And it wasn't her that I was going to see, but she was telling me there how she came from Ireland, married this stoker, and she said the times once were very good there. And then she realised she had a friend of hers who'd started letting, and so she went and rented this place, about £3 or £4 a week. Now she used to have 18 regular boarders there. 18. She employed two women to do the vegetables and that sort of thing, full board they were. She had a big shed built out in the back garden where she lived, and her husband was away on a foreign commission then. And she was raking the doing. Well, there were quite a lot like that, hell of a lot of them, that used to make quite a good thing out of it. And of course, the war mucked that up when that came along, and they all got bombed out. But
one of the ideas of that, that when the man left the service, there was a kind of going boarding house, bed and breakfast place?
Yes, he was already well trained in it, you see. Yeah. When I left the Navy and I was working with another joiner, a civilian member of Southsea, he had his own house up at Southsea. In the summer, that was his holiday. He used to go all along the south coast towns, working and having a holiday at the same time. And his wife was running there was no room for him at home. She was running in the boarding house there. It was a really wonderful... Now, I had a place where the... actually, it, right up near the front, near the pier, in one of those little crescent streets there, and it had been a place where it was a saddle room and a groom's house, and they'd made it into two flats. I had the bottom one, somebody else had the top one, which faced the other way. And around in the yard there, that had been an ostler's yard, where all the stables had been, that had all been converted into garages, and I lived there. Now, we had three bedrooms in this place, although one, if not two, were lit with a window from the next room that had an outside window, sort of thing. And down at the pub, down the road, we used to go in the Coast Guard Tavern, they were always asking me down there if we could put up a couple of visitors. My mother-in-law lived over the road in the Coast Guard cottages, and so while I was away, my wife went over there to live with Michael, and she let it to a couple who came down from the north somewhere, let them have it for a week, and then they asked if their daughter and her husband could come down and have it. So we let the place, and she made quite a bit out of that. It, you couldn't go wrong there letting. It was, and people used to come down on spec. Yes, that was one way that the Navy lower deck man could make his income up.
Can I just, you said yourself, and I just want to quickly get a note on this from you, but you said that when you decided to become respectable, you took a diggings in Portsmouth. Yes. Now, for what did you mean by become respectable, and what did this, was it a common thing
to
do?
Well, this way. I used to go ashore the same as most matlows would go ashore at night. Wander out, never go off to sleep. If you went off, especially winter nights, going off and having to get your hammock out and dive underneath it and put it up and then get up and lash up in the morning. Whereas you could book a bed at Haggy Weston's, the Trafalgar, the Salvation Army Home, any of those places. I don't know, there's about sixpence. You shouldn't at the most. And you had a cubicle there, and you could wake up in the morning and wash and go down and have a cup of tea and then walk back to the ship or the dockyard, wherever you were. Well, those beds weren't always available. When all the fleet was in, I've left it sometimes. I used to go to dances, perhaps. I belonged to a very exclusive dance club. And leaving it till late at night, come along and find that there was full up everywhere. And I've slept out on South Sea Common on one of those flat seats many a time. And then I was at this club, this dance club all night, and it was, what do they call it, Madame Ronald's Exclusive Dance Academy, that was it. And there was midshipmen used to go there, and a friend of mine who was a sub-lieutenant, we used to knock about together. And one day, I was going into hospital. That was it for this varicose vein affair. And I said to one of them, you come over and see me while I'm a hassler, just in a choking sort of way. Well, there was one, a married woman, whose husband was a prison governor, actually. She came over to Hassler to see me, much I surprise, with six of these girls from the... Oh, I was looked after well, and that was when I finally became a respected citizen. This, the married one, she said, why don't you come and stay with us? And so I did, eventually. She said, give it a trial, look. And anyway, eventually I went there, and then I bought a motorbike, and I used to pay her 25 bob a week, but she used to look after me. It was a home from home.
That was when you weren't at home, like when you were around here.
Yes.
You paid it. When you weren't using it, you didn't pay it. Is that right? Or did you pay
it? Oh, no, I wouldn't pay it when I was there. But right. All the time we were home in England, that was the...
That was your billet. That was
your
I want to just ask you two things, actually. But first, you just mentioned there, if I can just quickly ask you, You had a friend who was a sub-lieutenant?
Yes.
You were a PO shipyard? PO,
yes.
What, how did that develop?
Because he was an ex-messmate of mine in the Royal Sovereign years ago, H.H. Herbert. He was a naval captain afterwards in the last war.
I see.
And Herbert, he and I were always pally. I wasn't his best man, but I was his friend's best man when he got married. And he got made, I remember he left the ship and I didn't see him anymore until I was in barracks. And he'd come down from Greenwich College then, all the brand new subs. Yeah. And I was going across the parade we're talking about where I had to double. And they were out there on divisional drill. And they must have just happened to stand easier, fallen out. And I heard someone singing out, "Nobby! Nobby!" And it was Herbert. I congratulated him first off because you don't normally talk in a friendly way with an officer. But he said, "Where do you go when you go short night?" And I said, "I'm going to a dancing academy." "Good," he said. He said, "I'll see you outside the gate." And so we used to go ashore. I used to meet him ashore. And I always remember the first time when he said, "I've got to go up to Gibbs," he said, "before we go on to the dance." And I said, "What, are you getting a new suit or something?" I said, "You hadn't, your uniform isn't worn yet." "No," he said, "I want some collars." And I said, "You don't want to go all that way up." "Look," I said, "I've got an account at my tailor's halfway up Queen Street." And at that time, the collars were exactly the same that we used to. "Oh," he said, "oh, not new ones," he said, "second-hand ones." "Blimey," I said, "you got down in the poverty class, haven't you?" But he was the fellow that... eventually, you had to make both ends meet, and he went in for a photography course, and he was the fleet photography officer on the Chrysanthemum. He used to take photographs of the fall of shot and all that sort of thing. We were out firing. And then, eventually, he was axed when he was a two-ringer. You know, when they... Oh, was it 1920-something? About the time of the Prince of Wales, when he was going away on the Renown, I remember... And they axed a hell of a lot of people in the Navy, lower deck and officers. And he was one of them, and then he was retired. He was still a young man, and then he was promoted to lieutenant commander on the retired list. The war broke out, he was called up and made a commander. And then eventually he was captain of the Cumberland, of one of those cruisers.
That's what I, but you managed to keep friendly with them even when he became an officer. That's what
yes, but
you were able to...
more or less secretly, see, because he'd be in civvies at night time.
Not during the day in uniform or
around. We were both in barracks together, but he was the other side of the road in the officers' mess.
And the other thing I wanted just to briefly ask you about these rest homes, Aggie Weston's and places like that. What did you think of these places?
Wonderful places. They were. The religion wasn't poked down your neck, although there was the usual, what do you call this, "God bless our home" and "God is with you" over the walls. But you could go there and you could have a room, if you like, for a week. Very cheap it was. For a room with an armchair and a couple of armchairs in there and better attendance, a carpet on the floor and that sort of thing. Very, very cheap it was, and you could have that permanently, by the week. On the other hand, I think it was sixpence. I feel sure it was then for a bed, a cubicle. And then you could go down, there was a restaurant there, you see, and you could have a gorgeous meal at a cheap price. And, of course, if you were, you could join the non-alcoholic league and get a medal in time.
But basically...
It wasn't pushed onto you.
No.
All I ever used it for was my convenience.
Yes. And this was quite... You found it to be satisfactory and in every way to your benefit.
Another thing, a bath. Yeah. It's a thing that I used to enjoy that you couldn't enjoy on a ship.
Yeah.
Go ashore there and 6 months for a bath. And a nice hot bath there, it was really good.